A man who's going to talk to us about all things English transfer news, especially from down in London, is a man who is joining us on the line today, ready and set, raring to go. He's Mr. John Cross, joining us from the Daily Mirror here on World Football Daily to talk all things English transfer window. Absolute pleasure to have you back on the show, John. How are you, mate?
Yeah, very good. Thanks. Thanks a lot for having me on.
Hey, it's a pleasure to have you on the show, mate. Always appreciate when the big shot broadsheet journalists start coming on and giving us their thoughts. And you were down there for the Emirates Cup this weekend to see Arsene Wenger and his side take on Galatasaray. Did you write that script in the papers before you even turned up, with Didier Drogba coming on and scoring two late goals to give Galatasaray the Emirates Cup win over Wenger's side?
Well, I'll tell you what, as soon as you saw Didier Drogba come on at half-time, you might as well just go and take a punt on that, because he's just been Arsenal's nemesis down the years. I mean, I think, in a almost jovial, quite light-hearted way, I do think that a few years ago, he seemed to have the Indian sign over for Senderos in particular. And I'll tell you what, the monstering that he gave Senderos in a couple of games, I actually think turned Senderos from being a really promising Arsenal player who sort of seemed to have massive potential to go a long way into kind of almost a gibbering wreck. And things don't change. I mean, Drogba has sort of aged and done wonderful things, you know, for Chelsea. But still, he's got that power and the pace and ability to kind of really tear defences apart. I mean, Wenger called it, didn't he, kind of classic Drogba, sort of kind of, you know, winning that penalty, should we say, winning. And kind of taking a bit of an easy tumble. But I guess, you know, when you push even the slightest bit in the penalty area, a striker is going to do that. Took it, converted it, and then you saw, I thought, the real classic Drogba in terms of the way he finished his second goal. He just kind of bullied defences, didn't he? Absolutely sensational. Really, really, really powerful and impressive player. And fired in and you know, won the Emirates Cup, turned things completely on their head for Galatasaray. And listen, while Galatasaray have got him, I think they'll be a threat, I think, on the Champions League stage and beyond.
An impressive second half performance by Galatasaray, but for Arsenal, we've heard Wenger say it was tired legs that were a problem as well. But the manner of the defeat, coming off the back of such a successful tour of Asia, and then to come back to the Emirates, not win the Emirates Cup again, and to lose it to a guy who, as you say, has been their nemesis, Didier Drogba, when he was playing for Chelsea, he returns and does it again. This is a real, you know, bump back down to earth and back to reality with just 2 weeks before the Premier League season starts.
Yeah, it is. I think the one thing I would say, having trailed around them with them in Asia, was that they won two games scoring seven goals. The next two were 1-3-1 and 2-1. I thought Arsenal looked sharp at times in that sort of four-game spell. But it was difficult to gauge, really, just how good they were or how up to speed they were, because the opposition was so poor. I thought against Lazio, I thought they started really poorly, half asleep in the first half on Saturday, but came alive and were good in the second half, could have perhaps nicked it. But basically, I thought in the second half against Galatasaray, they looked exhausted for me, and they still looked some way off. I think that's a little bit of a concern, simply because we can argue kind of that Arsenal, you know, played two games in 2 days, which managers inevitably do. Well, so did Galatasaray, and they won it. So, and they won both games. So that's the kind of counter-argument. So Arsenal need to hit the season and the ground running, because they've got the Champions League qualifier. You know, they've kind of got Tottenham before the end of August, and they need a sort of a fast start. And they're starting well is something that's been Arsenal's Achilles heel in recent times. So I do think they've got Man City on Saturday in Helsinki, and so I do think that's another test. So it'll be interesting to see how they fare.
Interesting to see what happens off the pitch as well with Arsenal in the transfer window. The only real arrival has been the youngster Sanogo, who played and started in the game against Galatasaray yesterday. People, of course, expecting to see bigger and brighter faces coming into this club. Wenger said that he's working on something, but there's no names really coming out from Arsenal at the moment, aside from more bids for Luis Suarez. Do you see Arsenal being able to land Suarez? And if not, who else is being lined up to come into the club? Because people are starting to demand some fresh faces.
Yeah, they are. I think they'll try and strengthen elsewhere in the squad. But Suarez, I think, is the number one striker target. Should they fail, then I do think that that's kind of, you know, suddenly they'll have to think again a little bit later on into the window. But I do think there's a belief at the club that they will get Suarez. I'm not saying from that perspective that they will definitely get him, but I do think that sort of kind of trying to reflect Arsenal's view that they feel they have a really outstanding chance of getting him. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, because Liverpool resolute, Arsenal are determined, and we'll see where that takes us. I don't think it's a straightforward deal. Can I see it happening? Well, I can't actually, because basically at the moment I think it's 50-50, so I don't think you can say one way or another. I think all you're doing at the moment is just kind of guessing, really. There's so much work to be done on that deal that I do think if it happens, it'll be right at the last minute. It'll go straight right to the wire. I think Suarez wants to go. It's always difficult to keep an unhappy player. And it's kind of all got that sort of dynamic and chemistry around it. So it all sort of kind of goes together and becomes a very difficult deal to get across the line.
And this is maybe a slightly hypothetical question, John, but we saw last year with Dempsey's transfer to Tottenham that Liverpool were willing to pay a lot more money, but because of the way they interacted with Fulham and supposedly were tapping up Dempsey, Fulham didn't want to sell to Liverpool, ended up going at a cut price to Spurs. Could that happen because with this Suarez deal, because of the fallout between Brendan Rodgers and Liverpool and Arsenal and Arsene Wenger and the way that Arsenal have approached this, do you think Liverpool might hold a grudge, and if somebody else comes in, they'll disregard Arsenal's bids and move Suarez off somewhere else that is away from North London or potentially Tottenham?
Well, I don't think it's that so much. I don't think Liverpool want to sell to another club in the Premier League. Otherwise, you suddenly start questioning Liverpool's kind of standing in the Premier League and their ambition and why on earth you would sell to a rival. So I think if another club came in from abroad, I think they'd be far more open to it than selling to Arsenal. I actually think that Brendan Rodgers quite likes Arsenal, so I wouldn't, you know, I think he's trying to do his best for his club, so I think he's sort of kind of trying to talk a good game at the moment, so I don't think it's terminal. But I mean, listen, the thing is about this saga is it's been done to Arsenal in recent times, and so you've had kind of Fabregas, Nasri and Percy, and I think Arsenal were feeling aggrieved about the way the clubs kind of conducted themselves and trying to buy in their players. So now the boot is on the other foot. So it's kind of double standards all round, isn't it, really? So you kind of got to have sympathy with Liverpool. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just kind of thinking it's that kind of saga and the way they're pursuing it. So the one thing I would say is that I don't think Arsenal went public on the bids. I'm not saying Liverpool put out a statement, but it definitely didn't come from Arsenal that Arsenal would bid £30 million. And then a bid £40 million and £1 for Suarez. So, you know, I think when Brendan Rodgers talks, I think he's got to kind of almost remember that it wasn't Arsenal that kind of put it out in the first place. So, you know, it's very difficult, but you're sort of, you know, splitting hairs here because Arsenal are feeling aggrieved when similar things, as I say, were things done to them in recent seasons. So I guess that there's a feeling almost there, well, it's been done to us, so let's do it to someone else. But let's be honest, I think Suarez is a terrific player, but he comes with baggage. I still think that some Arsenal fans won't like it. And so he kind of, you know, there's so many hurdles and there's so many different things to this equation. But ultimately, I can see why Liverpool are desperate to keep hold of the player, because when he's on the pitch, he's just a phenomenon. He's absolutely fantastic and so effective in the Premier League.
John, elsewhere in North London, and Tottenham Hotspur having a big transfer go through, Dempsey moving away and moving to Major League Soccer back to the States and to play with the Seattle Sounders. Not a transfer that many people, I think, were expecting when we got started this summer. But are you surprised that Tottenham have let Dempsey go?
Yeah, I'm a bit. I think he was a decent player, but I think his first sort of moving on and sort of getting Soldado in, sort of confirmed now. Then I kind of think they're just moving in a different direction. Dempsey's a good player. He kind of flips in between the kind of midfield and attack. And I just think the only thing I think is that he offers a little bit extra, something a bit different. And so I thought it was quite interesting that they decided to let him go. I think in a way that Tottenham have got grandiose plans. I don't think Spurs have done yet. I think if they sell Bale, they'll continue to strengthen. And so I just think it was interesting from that perspective that Dempsey was able to go. Let's be honest, Dempsey wasn't a mainstay of the team last year. He played quite a number of games. He wasn't an automatic starter. So I guess that also had a kind of a bearing on them deciding to let him go.
His impact in the Premier League has been huge across the other side of the Atlantic, of course, because it's helped give US fans a person to look up to and admire in the Premier League. But in general, in the Premier League, at Fulham, he was really considered a great player, a great star, and it just never panned out for him at Tottenham. Is this another kind of tragedy of a player trying to take that step up and just being unable to do it in the upper echelon of English football?
Do you know, I think it's more sometimes a player's got to have everything right in his circumstance. So basically, if he'd gone to Liverpool, Liverpool were after him last year, I think he would have played more at Liverpool. And you begin to think, would he have been more of a success at Liverpool? Probably, because he would have played more. He would have got into a rhythm and got a feel for the game. At Fulham, he played every week. And he was kind of almost one of their outstanding players, week in, week out, so consistent. But what really caught the eye was his level of intelligence. He kind of just really sort of was able to drift and link up play very carefully. He was able to play up front. He was able to kind of play almost as the number 10 role, drifting in between the sort of the midfield and attack. And he was a very intelligent player. I think that's what caught the eye and really impressed. So I just think that you've got to get the best out of a player. Sometimes you've got to be completely at ease with themselves and you've got to have the confidence. I think Dempsey didn't play as much as he would like at Spurs. He certainly played quite a bit, but you know, kind of when the first 11 was read out with Dempsey in there, I'm not sure that he was. And I think that was the issue. So sometimes you've got to be really careful in choosing where to go. And which sort of direction for your career next. I'm not so sure that sort of Dempsey and Spurs was a match made in heaven. I think he did well enough, but perhaps if he'd gone somewhere else, then he might still be in the Premier League this coming season, rather than having sort of gone back to the MLS with Seattle.
And John, just finally, players choosing their next club carefully. A player who's got to do that at the moment is Wayne Rooney. Whether he should go to Chelsea or not, Chelsea launching another bid, having it batted away by Manchester United. Is Rooney going to go to Chelsea? And how much of this is Mourinho maybe trying to just disrupt things at United and play mind games? Or how much do you actually think they are really desperate to bring him down to Stamford Bridge this summer?
No, I think he wants to sign him. Simple as that. I don't think it's mind games. I think he wants to sign him. I think he'll go to Chelsea. They've not backed another bid. I don't think United want to let him go on the cheap. If they can hold out for $40 million rather than $30 million, of course they will. I think the other factor is, what I'm given to believe, is that United won't sell until they've got a replacement in. And I guess what is Rooney regarded as at the moment, an out-and-out striker, or kind of a bit more of a sort of a link player between the two. It's interesting, isn't it, that sort of United have been frustrated in their pursuit of Fabregas. I think if Fabregas had been signed, and I don't think he will be now, then I think then that sort of Rooney might have been allowed to have gone. I think Rooney needs to go to leave Old Trafford. I think he's been there frustrated, kicking his heels a bit, a bit annoyed at certain things that have been said and suggested about him. He's adamant that he never asked for a transfer and feels like a bit hung out to dry. I think in a World Cup year, if he went to Chelsea, played each week, was rejuvenated under Mourinho, which I think he would be, then it could be really good, not just for Chelsea, but for England in World Cup year. So it's certainly an exciting few weeks for Rooney. I do think he will end up at Stamford Bridge.
Do you think he would play every single week at Stamford Bridge, John? Sorry, just one more. Do you think he would? Would he be an automatic name on that team sheet? With they've got Lukaku in there, and of course Barr and Torres they've spent money on in the last few years. And then that front three of Hazard, Oscar and Mata is a very difficult thing to break into as well.
Yeah, no, I do think he'll be first-choice striker. I think, look at Torres. Torres is... If you look up at Torres' stats, they're actually quite good in terms of goals. Barr, so-so, you know, after coming in January. Lukaku, I think, clearly has caught Mourinho's fancy and eye. And I do think he'll be a major part of Chelsea's future. But I think a top club, even if you're playing one up front, a top club like Chelsea, you've got to have three top-class strikers who can compete for that position, give you a variation of roles, and even perhaps be a bit adaptable. I think actually if Rooney arrives, then I think Barr or Torres will probably be sold. I think more likely Barr, to be honest. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But I do think that Rooney, if everyone was fit and available, I think Rooney would be the first of those choice of picker strikers.
Plenty of changes taking place this summer in London. And John, we appreciate you running through some of the biggest stories with us today on World Football Daily, mate. We look forward to catching up with you later on in the season and getting into the nitty-gritty once the action all starts in 2 weeks.
Look forward to it.
Cheers, John. Take care, mate. Big thanks there to John Cross for joining us here on WFD today. John, of course, I actually was able to catch up with him down at the Emirates on Sunday. And John was there with us when we were chatting with Mikel Arteta, as you heard earlier in the show as well. A man who I also enjoy chatting football with.